Chapter 32. Document appeared to be got out of the way, somehow. At all events, it ceased to be the rock ahead it had been, and Mrs. Micawber informed me that her family had decided that Mr. Micawber should apply for his release under the Insolvent Debtors Act, which would set him free, she expected, in about 6 weeks. And then, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, who was present, "I have no doubt I shall, please heaven, begin to be beforehand with the world, and to live in a perfectly new manner, if in short, if anything turns up." Apostrophe, by way of going in for anything that might be on the cards, I call to mind that Mr. Micawber, about this time, composed a petition to the House of Commons, praying for an alteration in the law of imprisonment for debt. I set down this remembrance here, because it is an instance to myself of the manner in which I fitted my old books to my altered life, and made stories for myself, out of the streets, and out of men and women, and how some main points in the character I shall unconsciously develop, I suppose, in writing my life, were gradually forming all this while. There was a club in the prison, in which Mr. Micawber, as a gentleman, was a great authority. Mr. Micawber had stated his idea of this petition to the club, and the club had strongly approved of the same. Wherefore Mr. Micawber, who was a thoroughly good-natured man, and as active a creature about everything but his own affairs as ever existed, and never so happy as when he was busy about something that could never be of any profit to him, set to work at the petition, invented it, engrossed it on an immense sheet of paper, spread it out on a table, and appointed a time for all the club, and all within the walls if they chose, to come up to his room and sign it. When I heard of this approaching ceremony, I was so anxious to see them all come in, one after another, though I knew the greater part of them already, and they me, that I got an hour's leave of absence from Murdstone and Grinby's, and established myself in a corner for that purpose. As many of the principal members of the club as could be got into the small room without filling it, supported Mr. Micawber in front of the petition, while my old friend Captain Hopkins, who had washed himself, to do honor to so solemn an occasion, stationed himself close to it, to read it to all who were unacquainted with its contents. The door was then thrown open, and the general population began to come in a long file. Several waiting outside, while one entered, affixed his signature, and went out. To everybody in succession, Captain Hopkins said, "Have you read it? No. Would you like to hear it read? If he weakly showed the least disposition to hear it, Captain Hopkins, in a loud sonorous voice, gave him every word of it. The captain would have read it 20,000 times, if 20,000 people would have heard him, one by one. I remember a certain luscious role he gave to such phrases as the people's representatives in Parliament assembled, your petitioners therefore humbly approach your honorable house, his gracious majesty's unfortunate subjects, as if the words were something real in his mouth, and delicious to taste." Mr. Micawber, meanwhile, listening with a little of an author's vanity, and contemplating, not severely, the spikes on the opposite wall. As I walked to and fro daily between Southwark and Blackfriars, and lounged about at meal times in obscure streets, the stones of which may, for anything I know, be worn at this moment by my childish feet, I wonder how many of these people were wanting in the crowd that used to come filing before me in review again, to the echo of Captain Hopkins' voice. When my thoughts go back, now, to that slow agony of my youth, I wonder how much of the histories I invented for such people hangs like a mist of fancy over well-remembered facts. When I tread the old ground, I do not wonder that I seem to see and pity, going on before me, an innocent romantic boy, making his imaginative world out of such strange experiences and sordid things. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.